We're going to continue what we did last time on trusting God. We had some great records last week about Ruth was under the, Boaz said she'd come to trust the Lord under his wings. He was referred to as the God of my rock. Hezekiah trusted the Lord God of Israel, even though Rabshakeh tried to turn him away from trusting God. Psalm 5 said, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Psalm 9 said, the Lord, thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. In Psalm 18, the psalmist said, the Lord is my rock in whom I will trust. There's a whole lot more in the Bible about trusting God, and we'll read a little bit of it today. Let's go to Psalm 28. Let's go to Psalm 28. Here we are in Psalm 28. We read, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. And then let's go down to verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Supplications are requests. When you make a specific request to God, in the King James Bible here, it's referred to as a supplications. And he said, verse 6 again of Psalm 28, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. He listened. Sometimes people listen to you. Quite often they ignore you. You've probably noticed that in life. And sometimes they listen to you, but they hear what you say, but they either can't or won't do anything about it. Well, God's amazing because he not only listens to us, but he is able and willing to help. So verse 6 again, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. And verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am what? Helped. My heart trusted in God, and I got help. I am helped. It wasn't just idle words I was saying, or idle words God was doing. He actually helped me. So verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. His heart greatly rejoiced because God had helped him. You know, when you need help, and help comes, that's something to rejoice about. That's good. And that's what God does. Psalm 32, in verse 10. Psalm 32, verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. He'll be surrounded. A lot of times in the movies or in a battle, the good guy's surrounded by bad guys. And the thing is, you got to figure out, how is he going to get away? And the writers and the directors always have a way to get the good guy out, no matter how surrounded he is. Well, we're surrounded, except by God's mercy. A much better thing to be surrounded by. So let's read that one again. Psalm 32:10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass about. God's mercy will just surround him. Let's go to Psalm 34. And here in verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The man that trusts him is blessed. He's blessed. He's happy. He's got what he needs. He's taken care of. He's provided for. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And Psalm 34, verse 22 reads, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Nobody that trusts or puts their reliance on God will be desolate, you know, empty, abandoned, missing things. Think of like a desert. It's desolate. There's nothing growing there. And God wants us, our lives, to be fruitful and prosperous, not desolate. And nobody that trusts in God will be desolate. Trust in God, you still have challenges because we're people and we're made out of dust. But we come through the challenges with the help we need. Finding what you need there from Psalm 34:22. Good. Okay. None of them trust in him shall be desolate. Let's go to Psalm 36, just across the page for me. Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. God's loving kindness is excellent. It's just delightful. God's loving kindness is so excellent. It's so precious. It's real. It's good. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Just think of a mother bird protecting the young. I don't know if you've seen how mother birds can protect the young under their wings and anybody tries to get them. If you've ever been out hiking and you stumble across a bird's nest, mothers protect them.
Except for the mother wasn't there. We had to take care of
them. Well, that's too bad. But if the mother's there, don't mess with the chicks. I was once cleaning up a creek for a Boy Scout project and bumped into a swan's nest. Ever been chased by a mother swan?
No.
Even you have? Wow, I've never met anybody else.
Too.
Yeah, they're big.
I was like,
yeah, well, I was like 12 or 13. I was pretty much full grown. And there was this swan. And when it got up on its hind legs and moved its wings, it was bigger than I was. And it was fast. I still remember it pecking at my heels. And I wasn't even trying to mess with the baby goslings or whatever they... a baby swan is a cygnet. C-Y-G-N-E-T, if I recall correctly. But the point is, I wasn't even trying to get to the young. I was just trying to pick up the trash in the creek. But the point is, being under the shadow of a mother bird's wings is a very safe place to be. And God describes himself in many ways. And here he's describing himself as a mother bird protecting the chicks. And so Psalm 36, verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness or the richness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Now look at verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. You see, light, speaking about wisdom and understanding for living life. And the place we get light is in God's light. He's okay. He's okay. The place we get light is in God's light. So let's go to Psalm 37. We're sort of marching right through Psalms here, aren't we? Not about trusting God there. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And that may not sound like much to get to basically live in your house and eat. But if you look at most of history where people have been, even today in half the parts of the world where people are running around killing each other, just to get to live quietly in your own house and eat is a very big deal. And it says if you trust in the Lord and do good, you'll get to do that. But then it goes farther, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Go the next step and really get delighted and excited about the things of God. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You get excited about God, he'll go the next step and he'll give you the things you desire. And notice it doesn't say the desires of your mind, it's the desires of your heart. And the heart is used in the Bible for sort of the innermost part of your mind, the things you really want deep down. Because a lot of times people want one of these and want one of those and want to meet this person and want to do this activity. But they're really trying to fill some deeper desire in life. And God will give you those things which really meet those inner, deeper desires when you get delighted about them. Then verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Just roll it over unto him. So he has to worry about it. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So what a great section. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Great records. Let's go to verse 35. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, behold, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he couldn't be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. There's so many great verses in the Bible that talk about when you trust in the Lord and look to him, you'll have great peace. Rocco is missing a certain amount of peace right now, but he'll settle down. He'll settle down. Yeah. But when you look to God, the result is you have great peace. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to have peace. So let's get back there again. Verse 37 of Psalm 37. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So we're going to have times of trouble, but the Lord's our strength during those times. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust him. We just have to trust God. If we don't trust God, he can't help us. He wants to help us, but we have to trust him that he'll do that. You know, it's like that many times. You may be hiking along a ledge, and somebody reaches out a hand to help you over a narrow part. Well, you either stay where you are, try to do it yourself, and perhaps lose your balance, or trust that that person knows what they're doing, and grab their hand and let them help you across. And if you trust them, and they do know what they're doing, you'll get safely across the ledge. Well, God knows what he's doing. So that's not a question. There's no question that we're going to have troubles in life. There's no question that God knows how to help us out of them. The question is, are we going to trust him and follow his lead and get the trust? That's the question. And we each have to decide that every day. And on those days where we choose to focus on trusting God and expecting him to help us, we get the help we need. Those days we just get all distracted, we get confused, we get discouraged, and we don't look to God for help, then we don't always get the help we need. So we want to be looking to the Lord. Let's read verse 40 again. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. Look at Psalm 44, verse 4. Psalm 44, verse 4. Remember David, among many other things, not only a great believer in the true God, but very accomplished. He brought down Goliath the giant with a stone, because he was good at a sling, as all shepherds were. He defeated great armies. He did incredible things. Yet look what he says here in Psalm 44, verse 4. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Jacob is a term for Israel, nation. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Even though he was a great warrior that had won many battles, both as a soldier and a general, so to speak, great track record as a warrior, he realized he couldn't trust his sword or his bow because they were limited. Look what he says here in verse 7. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. So he realized that although, yes, he fought and his soldiers fought, the real deliverance, the real difference in the battles was from God. And it's like that in our lives. We have things we have to do. You have a project at work, you have to figure it out and do it. You have a project as a student, you have to study and learn and drill yourself and review, or whatever other thing you're challenged with. We all have them. We have to do our part. But then it's God that takes us the next step. Sort of like going across that ledge on the mountain. You got to climb the mountain. When you get to that narrow spot where you're losing your balance a little bit, it's nice to have somebody a little stronger and more experienced to reach out and give you a hand, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, God is that extra help we need every day. We can't just sit in a chair and expect God to live our lives for us, but as we live our lives and as we figure things out and as we work and as we persevere, God will be there to fill in the gaps. He'll pick up the slack. He'll do the extra part that we need. Let's look at verse 8 of Psalm 44. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. So look at that again, verse 6. I will not trust in my boat, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies. So he had a bow and he had a sword and he used them. But his trust was in God. That's the way we live every day. The business I'm in, I've been in there about 30 years. I know it pretty well. People call me up all the time asking me how to do things because I've been doing it so long. But I still don't put my trust in my skills and abilities. I pray and ask God to help me. I do all the things I do know, and I try to do them my very best, but I also ask God to help me, and He makes the difference. He gets the door open. You know, there are times, there was one Navy guy I've been trying to get a hold of for weeks, but he was so busy. I was just wandering through the suburbs to visit somebody else, and there he was, sitting outside of Starbucks with another guy from the Missile Defense Agency from Indiana, who I also wanted to talk to, and there they are. I'd been after this guy for a long time. I worked with him closely, but he got reassigned, and he's always on the road, and he just it's impossible to find the guy. But here I am off on a totally different project, wandering through this suburban shopping center. Hey, there's Wayne and Fred. I sat down with them for 5 minutes, got my business done, went on my merry way. That's just one example. You know, I've been riding the subway and bumped into CNN reporters I had to talk to because they just happened to be on the same subway train I was on. You don't worry about it. You can plan, you can think, and you should, but then you just have to expect and trust that God will come through and pick up the slack for you. And He does it all for us in different ways. You know, we all have different lives, different responsibilities, different projects, but it doesn't matter. God knows what it'll take to pick up the slack in your life, and He'll find a way to do it. He knows what it'll take to pick up the slack in my life. So it's no use expecting God to take care of you the way He takes care of me, because you have different responsibilities and you're a different person. But God will find a way to do it for you, just like He does for me. And life is good like that. Here we go, Psalm 56. And verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. And people can do a lot of stuff to you. Some of it good. Yes, some of it good. Some of it not good. Good. We've all had those challenges, Kaylee. But in God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man could do unto me. See, the human approach is to be happy on a day when everybody's nice to you and be miserable on a day when people aren't. But in reality, God is always there to take care of you. That's why we don't be scared. I mean, we don't have to be flippant and be nasty to people, because it says we should try to live peaceably with all men. But at the end of the day, some people will help you, some will try to make life difficult for you. But we don't be scared of them, because God will take care of us. What a great verse. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. In verse 5. Psalm 62, 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And it's interesting, that word wait is the word that means expect. Wait with expectation. Wait with expectation upon God. I often think of this word as like a kid just before Christmas or birthday. No, I'm going to get that bicycle I wanted, or I know I'm going to get that new basketball, or I know I'm going to get that new chemistry set or whatever it is you've been hoping for. And just expectation. Yes, you're waiting for Christmas for your birthday, but it's not like because you're bored and the bus is late and you're waiting for the late bus. It's not like that. It's this expectation. Wait with expectation. So my soul, verse 5, wait thou only upon God. Expect him to take care of you, for my expectation is from him. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I won't be moved. I won't be pushed around. In God is my salvation, my deliverance, and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Look at verse 8. Trust in him, how often? At all times. At all times. Some people have certain things in life and certain times when they want to trust God. The rest of the time they want to figure it out. You know, I'll trust God for this and that, but the rest I'm going to do. Or I'll trust God when I get to the last, reach the end of my rope and I'm hanging on the cliff with one fingernail. Then I'll ask God for help. It's better to just trust God at all times. Everything you do, walk out trusting. You know, tomorrow morning we're all going to go do something. Maybe you work at home, maybe you go to an office, maybe you go to a store, maybe you go to school. Whatever you're doing, you're going to get up and do something. Trust God to help you with it. Just say, somebody says, how's your Monday going? You know, some people are all grumpy. I hate Monday, but I wish I did. And you can do that, but it's not very much fun. Why not go out saying, I trust that God's going to make this a great day for me. I did my planning. I got my to-do list or my agenda or whatever you do to organize your day. And I thought about it. I'm going to go do my best, but I'm trusting that God will prosper my work. And whatever I do, he's going to add the extra stuff to make it work. And if I'm doing something wrong, he's going to show me, and I'm going to know what to do instead. So look at that again. Which verse did I get to? Verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Just tell him what's on your mind. God is a refuge for us. Verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity. They're empty. They're hot air. Men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter from than vanity. So people at the bottom of the totem pole, they don't matter. People at the top of the totem pole, they don't matter. What matters is trusting God. Verse 10, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. See, your heart should be trusting God. Because there are times where people have so much money, they feel they don't need to trust God. Remember, there's that verse in Proverbs that says, Lord, neither give me too much or too little. Because if you give me too little, I'll think you can't take care of me and I'll curse you. And if you give me too much, I'll feel that I don't need you and I'll walk away from you. So it's good to have just enough. A little extra is good. And it's okay to have a lot extra, but you don't want to put your trust in the riches. You want to realize God has given them to you, and because God has blessed you with them, you take good care of them, you steward them well, and you continue to trust God to prosper you. It's just simply a matter of acknowledging God as your source of supply. Let's try Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 1. Here we are, Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed, happy is the man that fears or reverences the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. See, if you reverence God, you have respect for him, and you greatly delight in his commandments, you're blessed, you're happy, your life works. You're excited about God's word. You're excited about his promises to take care of you. So the result is you're very blessed. Let's go to verse 2. His seed, his offspring, shall be mighty upon the earth. This is the guy that reverences God, who delights in his commandments. Verse 2, his seed, his offspring, shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, here's one of my favorite verses. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. We all have dark days. We all have days where we're confused and discouraged. Hopefully we don't have them very often, and hopefully they're not too intense, but it happens to all of us. But unto the upright, simply those that trust God, light arises in the darkness. So I can't tell you how to live a life where there's never a dark moment, because that's going to happen, because we're people and there's a devil in the world and all these other things. There's going to be dark moments. But how great to look to God and have light arise so the darkness is quickly dispelled. And what we've got to do is work with our minds that when we find ourselves in a dark moment, instead of panicking, instead of getting discouraged and staying confused too long, we just ask God for help and ask Him to show us the way out of there, and the light arises in the darkness. Go, oh, I'm not stumbling around. You know, it's like you're stumbling around in the dark, and you know, it's like the old story about if you want to be really mean to a blind man, rearrange the furniture. It would be cruel, because as you know, blind people are very good at finding their way around stuff if they know where it is. But if you rearrange the furniture, it's just not kind. Well, we're often blind like that in life, where things are confusing and we're trying to find our way around, and all of a sudden somebody turns the light on. It's like, oh, no wonder I kept stubbing my toe. There's a rock in the middle of the floor. And so to the upright, verse 4, there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Isn't that amazing? He's gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. It's established. It's focused. Trusting in the Lord. We've all been in situations where, and I know this happens to me, and it's probably happened to you, you're working on something. It could be as simple as, you know,
switching your color.
Yes, something. You know, something, some simple little thing. It could be as simple as, you know, cutting the grass, painting the porch, or, you know, designing an aircraft carrier. Anything from little to big. And there's always somebody that has focus on the goal and just keeps moving along. And there's other people that run around screaming and yelling, but what about this? What about that? We can't do this. And they're just going everywhere schizoid. Well, we want to be the focus person. But our focus is on trusting God. No matter what's going on, sure, you got to react to it. And if you get a shock and surprise, you'll have a little bit of adrenaline and go, what am I going to do about this? But as quick as you can, settle yourself down and say, I'm going to trust God. He's going to help me out of this. You know, work through your emotions if you want. Deal with all of that. But then settle down and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. That's what it talks about, your heart being fixed. It's focused. It's established. You know where you're going to go. You know God's going to help you. So let's see. Verse 8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Oh, verse 7, he shall not be afraid. Let's back up. Verse 6, verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. So that's what we want our to do. We want our hearts to be fixed, trusting in the Lord. I don't know if I told you about the time I went to a tank factory. They were building, they weren't the big Abrams tanks. This was the Bradley fighting vehicle. It's like the mini tank. I don't know if you guys had any of those. Okay. Well, they just sort of stuck you up behind a rock, didn't they? Okay. Well, this way, these were the smallish tanks, and they gave us this demonstration. They took the gun and the turret and pointed at this tree, and the laser sight locked in on it. And then they turned the tank around 360 degrees. And the turret stayed focused on the tree. Wow. Because of the laser sighting. That was pretty impressive. And I was, my boss, the big shot, he was up front where you could see through the window. I was stuck with the rest of the staff down this jumpy seat beneath. But I could feel it moving around. And it was amazing. It was amazing how well it is. And it was a good example to me of how we focus. Focus on God. that he's going to take care of us, and your life may go this way, your life may go that way, all the circumstances may change. One day these people are with you, the next day they want to shoot you in the back. One day it looks like everything is going great, the next day it all falls through, but you're still focused. God's going to help me. I'm going to come through this. And it's a challenge, because there's so many distractions. And sometimes you got to deal with the distractions. It's not like you pretend they're not there, but you deal with them, but you with the attitude that God is going to help me. So let's look at that again. So verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Psalm, we just read that, Psalm 112. Psalm 115. This is a bit of a psalm session, isn't it, today? Psalm session. Okay, Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord. Verse 1, Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore, why should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their teeth. They that make them are very like unto them. So is every man that trusteth in them. Just a statue. Verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield for Israel. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You that fear, reverence the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So it's better to trust God than these idols that don't talk. Then one to wrap up here, Psalm 118. Finish up, verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress, but he was busy. He put me on hold. No, we all get put on hold by people, but not by God. He has some kind of massive multitasking, parallel processing circuitry. He can listen to us all at the same time. With all the great computers we have, they can't do that. They can do a lot, but not like God. Psalm 118, verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Look at this, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. See, we should love people. We should help them. We should work with them. We should cooperate with them. All of these great things, but our trust should be in God. Because God can come through. I mean, it's not good to put your trust in me. I will try, but I'm not perfect. I forget stuff. I get confused. I get busy. I get distracted. So as much as I might, and I'm not God, even if you have my full attention and I'm really focused, I'm still not God. I didn't create the heavens and the earth, and I can't move it, heaven and earth. I'm happy to do what I can for people, and I do try, but I'm not God. So on a good day, trusting in me is silly. On a bad day, I'm just distracted. There won't be any help at all. But God, he's different. You put your trust in him. So it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That's a big deal, because everybody thinks there's a big shot somewhere that can solve all your problems. I mean, most of Washington is, maybe 1,000 people, if you take all the leaders in Congress and the administration and the different agencies, it's probably about 1,000 people that actually have some power and control budgets and control government policies. And then all the rest of the people in town are trying to get their attention and get them to do something. And that's okay, because it's called a democracy. You're allowed to talk to your public officials and plead your case, and they either agree with you or don't. So there's nothing wrong with it. But everything about it is putting confidence in princes, trying to get help from people in authority. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's the way the town works. That's the way our constitution was set up. And there's nothing wrong with it unless you put all your confidence in it. I have the great pleasure of knowing my confidence is in God. So I can run around and work with a lot of these big shots and small shots and mid-sized shots. And it's my job. But I don't worry about it, because I know God's the one that brings us victory. Sometimes the government will do what you want. Usually they won't. Because they got other people bugging them about doing different things. So that's okay. That's the way life is. But God comes through. So, like it says in the Word, we pray for leaders and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Then we put our trust in God. I'm around people every day that are always worried and upset about what the princes are doing, the big shots. I don't. I just work with them the best I can and trust God. And quite often, you know, they're able to do something for us, or we're able to do something for them, and we add value. Other days, nothing happens. But you know what? God still takes care of us, so we don't worry about it. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints here in the room and on the phone and that may hear this on the website one day. May you bless them abundantly. No matter what we're doing, no matter what our responsibilities are, no matter where we're located, no matter whether we have a great week planned or the biggest, toughest challenges of our lives, may we simply trust you, knowing that you will take care of us, knowing that you will provide. For you are our Father, you are our Lord, you are the one who brings us salvation and deliverance and victory every day. We thank you that through your light we see light. We thank you that as we look to you, light does arise in the darkness. And we know that we can hide in the shadow of your wings, that you are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. And may we have a great couple of weeks, just expecting your blessing and knowing that you'll never forsake us. So I pray for everybody here on the phone and everything about their lives, that it can be blessed, prosperous, healthy, and strong. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.